Hey, this is Part-Time Rambles, Season 2, Episode 1, with your host, Stuffums, or Tyrell, whatever you want to call me. We have our guest here, or main guest, Bruno.
Hey, what's up, everybody?
And my co-host, Tyne.
Hey, what's up?
We're going to be talking about a couple topics today. The first one starting with the vaccine. Anyone want to start us off on this?
I'll just say this. I can't wait to get the vaccine and just be at a club grinding on a girl, not worrying about shit. That's all I got to say.
Oh, my God.
Except the second dose.
Where are you, Tyne?
I mean, it's a pretty good option. I think we definitely need a vaccine. I definitely don't want to be part of the first wave. I want to see what those side effects all hold first. But other than that, I'm for it.
Okay. To be clear, everyone, we are all for the vaccine. But we will talk about the issues brought up about the vaccine. And here's one. I don't know if you guys get these emails, but I get an email every week telling me, hey, this is how the rollout's going to work. But every time I get those emails, it still feels like they're on part one. How have they not given the vaccine to the old people yet? Okay? The people who need it. And then how have they not rolled it out to like they keep saying, don't worry, you're next. I've seen don't worry, you're next for like 7 months. Like, I'm down to take it. Just, you know, let me know. I don't know. It seems like there's just never enough vaccines and that we're never going to... I know they say they're like phase 3 or phase 4 or whatever, but I'm like, I feel like it's still at the point where they're still handing it out to the elderly that need it and the medical professionals. And now we have, I mean, this is going to be another topic that we talk about down the line, but teachers are also going to get vaccinated within the next couple of months. So, I mean, do you think there's any way like this could be done better? Is there... Like, why is it taking so long for them to roll out the vaccine?
Oh, man. It's just because I know this is like the meme thing that everyone kind of says with when it comes to governments and bureaucracy is that it tends to roll out really slowly. And this is one of those cases where it's very true. Like, the government, for some reason, you would think it would be better suited for a task like this, like, you know, getting a vaccine to... hundreds of thousands are, I guess, in America, it's like millions of people, right? But it's just not that simple, especially because I don't think they are providing guidance, the federal government at that is. They're not providing guidance for the local state governments to actually issue out these vaccines. And then there's also that bigger issue of the vaccines requiring what, like sub-zero temperatures in storage and transport. So I don't know if that's also playing into it, but yeah, it is pretty frustrating that it's taking so long to do something like simple, quote unquote, as this.
Especially because we live in a society where we have our government and then we have our private sector, and our private sector is huge. So even though we can make a vaccine quickly with our private sector, because this is a pandemic, and we want everything to be like affordable. So say you have this big company that makes it for us, then they're like, all right, we got to issue it out to everybody. And the company, you know, being the company, is like, yeah, everyone has to pay $1,000 for this vaccine. And then our government's like, okay, no, they can't do that. So we're going to buy it. You know, we're going to issue it out. This is how we're going to issue it out. And they have to go through all the paperwork and tape for that. And then that costs a whole much. And then they have to decide which people they can issue it out to. And they have to do groups for that. And it's like, it just takes so much time to even create, decide if this is something you can even give to people in the first place. Then once you decide if you can give it, if it actually like works also, then give it out to the people, because they already know everyone's going to freak out if you have crazy side effects. Like we were talking about the... What was the side effect you brought up, Bruno?
Cerebral palsy.
Yeah.
And the funny thing about that, too, is like, it might not even be from the vaccine. I think the rate of cerebral palsy they found in the test group that got it It was the same rate that would happen naturally in a population, whether or not they're being vaccinated or not. But people, because, you know, there's an event and then, mm-hmm. There's an effect a week later, you know, they want to attribute it to the vaccine. So it might not even be the vaccine, but, you know, it's just funny how our minds are just, you know, we're wired to just seek cause and effect, especially in something as blatant as a vaccine or like a shot, you know, injection.
Mm-hmm. So the time it takes to iron out those to make sure things aren't attributed to this or that. Mm-hmm. And then it sucks that on top of all that, we have the slow moving government parts, because yes, it is nice that we are in a capitalist society for certain reasons, but like with a huge private sector, that means that our government sector is going to have to take cuts as well. So they don't move mm-hmm. as efficiently. They can't do things that the private sector can do super, super easily. And that's why it's really frustrating when your private sector is as greedy as it is, because, you know, human nature. If you just had them already make the vaccine in the beginning and they were just like, you know what, why don't we just give out the vaccine for like $5? Why not? Then like we could have skipped so much of what we already have.
Yeah, for sure. And I don't know if you guys also heard, but they're actually like trying to, the private sector is slowly getting involved. I know Biden met with like a few CEOs. I think it was Walmart, Costco, or like some other retailers, some big retailers, but they're trying to help with the distribution now because they already have so much, like you said, they have such great infrastructure for mm-hmm. delivery, for like people already go to those stores. So like it would be easy to say, oh, honey, get the bananas and I'll get the vaccine. You know, like mm-hmm. it already would work out like in terms of coordinating all those big issues that might come with like trying to distribute something like the vaccine. So it's just funny, like they're getting involved, but it seems like a little late. And hopefully if they can get involved enough, it might be, you know, to our betterment, like you said. I think so.
I will say that when it comes to, you mentioned this earlier, the temperatures of the vaccine for transport and storage, I do think if there wasn't a requirement to have it at sub-zero temperatures, we probably would have had a lot of this stuff rolled out already. There's just been so many issues and so many stories of that during transport that they weren't able to hold the temperatures. Now all those vaccines are bad, or they have a limited time to put out those vaccines, or they will expire, and then people rush to the place to get it, and they just don't have enough staff to put it out. So,
yeah.
So
do any of us know anyone who got the vaccine yet, or what's up with you guys?
I've had a few coworkers, like relatives who's gotten the vaccine. For them, it's been like the first dose has been chilling. I think one of them had flu-like symptoms on the first dose, mm-hmm. but it was very light. Second dose kicked their ass.
Oh.
And then, they're just like very sickly or just drained, just like super drained. But then that was about it. And then they're chilling after that.
I only know one person that was close to me that has taken the first dose. And I think they were supposed to take the second dose last week. And the issue with that, I heard the issue was, after the first dose, I think you have to take the second dose within 40 something days. And they weren't able to get the, something happened with shipment or the amount of vaccines. So the people who scheduled for the second dose weren't able to get it in that amount of time. So they have to start over.
That's...
Yeah, I know. Isn't it weird that we need... I mean, it's not that weird because, you know, it's just how the test was done. But it sucks that we do need two doses. So, like, even a minor detail like that ends up mattering.
That is
so stupid.
I wonder why...
Huh?
Go ahead. I was just going to ask, does anyone know why it's two doses is necessary as opposed to just like a single vaccine?
No, I don't know for sure why that's the case, but I just know that's how like the tests were done. So I guess they're trying to just replicate how it was done during the study so that like the effectiveness is, you know, all things held constant. Yeah.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I don't know like why though, like I wonder what it was or what the difference is, would be if it was just the one dose, but.
Yeah. I don't know the exact reasoning behind why that, and But I mean, obviously, it has to be very important if they're deciding to do it this way. And mm-hmm. you know, maybe that's another issue with the with throwing this out, because all those people who have to start over. Well, now it was like, what's the point of getting that first shipment? You know,
I know all those wasted doses.
It just seems, I don't know, it just seems like it's, I mean, it's probably part for like the first part is probably on, you know, citizens, you know, a little bit. And, you know, just bad planning on the government side. Mm-hmm. Or just not enough, just understaffed, or I don't know what it is. Just not able to.
Yeah. No, definitely understaffed. Not many people want government jobs, even though they, you know, quote unquote pay well. It's like, I don't know, there's a stigma and like, you know, there's also a different type of work. And I feel like a lot of these branches of government are like purposely understaffed. Like, isn't it weird? Like, everyone needs a DMV, but DMVs are so slow, clunky. Like, the people there seem miserable. Like, what the fuck is going on at the DMV? I don't know. It's just weird, man. A lot of weird shit.
It feels like the government is there to like stay afloat. They do all our policies and stuff. Like, that's their main job. And then anything outside of like military and policies just needs to keep the lights on. Yeah. Because, and then they're like, private will take care of that. You know, if you need anything, just go buy it from one of our stores. And we're like, oh
yeah,
God. Because then it makes it really hard when you're relying on these certain infrastructures to be efficient or do things properly, but they can't. And then because they can't, because they don't have money or this, it just creates this whole cycle of just not working. And then now we have a pandemic that happens, and all of these systems that were already slow and backed up now just crash. And now we're stuck in, they can't function. And they need the help of the private sector, but the private sector doesn't really want to care because it affects them to have to deal with all of this.
I mean, the reality is the government cuts. They cut corners and they try to spend as little money as possible where they think they can. So being understaffed and making people do double the work is basically something they're always going to do. And they're always going to put their funding where they think needs to go, even if it's not, how do I say, I don't want to say not the right place, but just it seems like the intention is there, you know, like it isn't there. Like they don't have good intentions sometimes. I mean, and that's just the reality of our government. It's not for the people like it's supposed to be. At least not for people like us.
Yeah, not for the majority, for the certain special interests, let's call it that.
It's for the aristocrats.
Yeah, those people.
You know, if we're going to be talking about the government like this, I'm glad we're cam off this episode.
I know, right? Shit, man, I want that facial recognition technology on us right now, bro. Oh, man.
Hey, give him the quote-unquote vaccine, that one. Yeah, we'll take him out. I know I'm saying that's a joke. I'm going to be very clear. The vaccine, don't be an anti-vaxxer. Don't be this. Okay, guys. I think the vaccine will be fine. And when the opportunity comes, you should take it, because working together is the only way we're going to get out of this pandemic.
Yeah, man. For real. All
right. I think we all hit kind of what we wanted to say on the vaccine. And, I mean, speaking on the government is leading us to our next topic, the stimulus checks. Now, I want to start this off with the people who complained about the government giving them $600 and then saying they're going to give $1,400 on the second round. The people who complained that where's our $2,000 checks, I think that's insane. I know you heard $2,000 checks, but guys, $600, $1,400 equals $2,000. Now, I mean, I will say that it's looking like the second round might not come. And that is something to be mad about. But to pick this, one of the arguments being the checks weren't technically $2,000 is just not the argument you want to run on, okay? I just don't think that's one of the arguments you want to run down.
Yeah, it's a little extra, and I get it, you know, like, it's playing, like, semantic games at this point, because it's like, oh, we were told $2,000 checks, but my bank account only says plus $1,400. What's going on here? It's like, dog, come on, like, it is unfortunate that it had to be, for some reason, put onto two separate bills, and then, for some reason, the $600 one is given to more people under Trump than the $1,400 one will be, because of, like, how they're trying to phase out differently. Because that was one of the, I don't know if you were following the debates around that bill.
Oh, yeah, where
the Republicans were, like, saying, like, yeah, Republicans were all like, oh, man, like, if we give out $1,400, and based on the phase rate that they had calculated, they had, like, a formula for, like, oh, every, you know, extra $1,000 you make, cut five bucks from the check, they would still allow, like, people making six figures to get the check, and people are like, they're like saying, oh, that's socialism for the rich, which is ironic coming from them. But yeah, so it's just like funny, like how like all these little details just like get people can riled up.
Yeah, I think it's really my problem with that whole thing is that they don't want to give, they're basically saying they don't want to give money to people who make over a certain amount of money. And sure, fine, if they don't need it, they don't. But This is coming off of the income based in, what was it? These bills are based off the 2019 income, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so here's my problem. The pandemic started early 2020. So you have, let's say these people were making six figures in 2019. A lot of people got laid off. Or a lot of people took cuts to their pay. Or a lot of people aren't working the same amount. So they might be hurting where their income covered them in 2019. Their new income in 2020 is not covering. And these guys are getting reduced checks because they made a certain money in the past. And like, I know that's how they have to base it off if you're making money in the, but it's like some of these people aren't making six figures anymore. A lot of these people aren't. And then to even phase it out at that point, it was already, I think in the way it was set up already, the people who are making six figures, even if they got a check, it was already reduced. I don't think they were getting the full on money anyway. So
yeah,
for them to even cut it down even more and try to cut it after, I think they start cutting it at 75,000 completely.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think they wanted to try to start it at 50 or something. I think that's,
yeah, insane. They tried to, but they didn't get passed in this bill. At least the language isn't written that way.
Yeah. I mean, I just think it feels like stalling at this point. And like to argue,
yeah, I know that
people making like that type of money doesn't deserve it. I'm like,
yeah,
that's just give out the money, man. You guys give like tax breaks and all this other stuff, and then you don't want to give $1,400 to people who are making $75,000.
Dude, and it's our money anyway. Taxes are, you know, from us. Like, we pay income tax, sales tax, state tax, property tax, you know, all these taxes. It's like we're not even necessarily getting paid money, free money. It's money we paid to the government anyway, like, yeah, so it's just funny. Yeah, it is a funny situation.
They already spent it all on coke, though.
I know. Oh shit. Let's pay it back. So did you guys get the 600? Because I never got the 600. I only got the 1200 from last year.
So I got the 1200, but, and I don't even know why I got the 1200. I know I needed the 1200, but because I forgot how the 600 bill worked, I didn't do my 2019 tax, even though, because I made under a certain amount, I thought it wasn't worth it. I filed it now because I was like, well, if I file my, I filed it with my 2020 income, because if the check does come, I should be able to get it, because now they have something on file for me for 2019, but I never got the 600, and I think that's just because of how my IRS papers looked according to 2019.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if I'll even get the 1400 if it does.
Well, are you filing this year?
I filed. Yeah.
Yeah. So they're gonna base it off of the most recent tax returns or tax filing that you have. So it'll be off of this one. So hopefully you get it. And did you file through like TurboTax, or what did you end up filing through?
I did
like
H&R. TurboTax.
Okay, for sure. So then you probably, did you claim the credit, the $600 credit? There should have been a little form or like a screen that pops up at some point that says like, oh, did you receive the check? Because if not, you can claim it on your tax return. And that also might happen to some people for the $1,400, which it would be annoying because it's like, you have to wait a whole year to get that, but whatever.
Yeah. I had to, it asked about the, since I didn't get the six, yeah, I did ask, and I didn't claim the 600. If it asked, I think there was one that asked about the 1200, and I did claim that. And obviously, like, so basically, because of the way my tax forms came in, I owed money. Because I worked, basically, most of the income I made was off of, it was mostly DoorDash and a little bit of Twitch, just for like, I didn't make any money on Twitch really, but those tax forms come in, they both came in as self-employed, and DoorDash, only recently became where you're, I don't think it counts as a self-employed form anymore. But for the previous year it did. So they owed money. So I had to claim a bunch of expenses. But basically, after they took in my income and how much I had to pay, they basically were like, because at first they're gonna make me pay like a good, it wasn't gonna be like that much money, but they're gonna make me pay a little bit back, and then they were like, yeah, actually, after review, we've decided that you deserved every single dollar of the $1,200 check you got. We're not gonna make you pay back on it. I was like, oh god, because I thought they were, but. So I ended up actually getting, and then they also asked, I don't know if there's other people are getting this, but I'm actually getting a little bit back on my tax return because of, they asked if I ever got a impact, payment or something because of like surroundings or whatever. And I never got it. I think it was like EIP or something. And they actually gave it, I said no, and they actually said I was eligible for it. So that's coming in through tax return. So, I didn't get the $600 check, but it's coming in the tax return, I guess.
Yeah, it should be. That's good.
I don't know how you guys are. I don't know if you guys have done your taxes this year yet.
Not yet.
I should get it done before they decide finally what they want to do with that the next stimulus check, man.
I was going to do it this week. I was going to do it tomorrow, actually.
But yeah, their hard deadline is quote unquote March 15th to get the bill passed, but we'll see. You know how Congress can be.
Oh, yeah.
Hard deadlines aren't really hard. They're just suggestions.
I honestly think they want to push down the number. But they're pushing for bipartisan right now, but I honestly think if they shouldn't go under 1400, and they should just be like, if they try to negotiate that, they should just push it through at 1400, because honestly, in the long term of things, they're complaining about giving us this money. This money's not going to do jack shit. It's not going to do jack shit for anybody.
Dude, yeah, it's that's the other funny part. This stimulus is like, you know, just the smallest, happiest, like little, you know, gesture that you can give. It's like barely anything. We're like 1400. That's like, for a family, or even just for yourself, like that's barely rent and like a few maybe trips to the grocery store, and that's nothing, bro. That's not pandemic assistance.
Yeah, and another important thing, as I said before, this is not for free. You have to claim this in your taxes and pay it back. Not the full, like obviously you don't have to pay back a full $1,400, but they'll make you pay back a certain amount of tax after you claim it and say like some of that money is owed to you. So you're not getting full. Whatever the money is, you're paying some.
Yeah, it's not a grant in that regard.
Yeah. So I paid them, and they're gonna take that money and pay me back with it, and then be like, yeah, but then pay me back on that.
Yeah, it's funny.
I don't know if we've hit everything on the stimulus checks. I don't know if you guys have anything else you want to mention about it.
Anything, Tyan? You've been quiet, man.
Yeah. Well. I haven't said it on here, but as far as the politics have gone, I've dropped off a lot as to following them super closely. I still hear about it, so to make sure I'm involved, but as far as when they're doing stuff, if they're doing stuff. I no longer rely on the government at this point, so.
Fair.
I do check in on some stuff where, like, anytime I hear, like, a bunch of controversy, I'll go watch the channel. Also, I do watch a little bit of Hassan, but Hassan has very...
Oh, I love Hassan Minhaj, bro.
He's the GOAT.
He has a bunch of strong opinions, though, so I don't want to ever... Like, I agree with him a lot on a lot of his takes, but I don't want to sound like his echo chamber, so I try not to listen to him too much when I'm giving my takes, because I don't want my takes to just be, you know, regurgitate him.
Yeah,
exactly. I feel you.
He's very passionate, and he breaks it down so simply that it's like, it's hard not to say the same thing.
But, yeah, I think that hits us for us. Like, I really hope that Stimulus Check comes out, because I could, you know, I could do some things with that Stimulus Check, like maybe buy a graphic card. Maybe go get one of those graphics cards that's being put on. Nah, I shouldn't be spending it on that.
Yeah, I know. That's the only thing that kind of is also, like, tempting with Stimulus. It's like, people are just going to blow it on, like, sneakers or something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I will say that's my biggest issue with the Stimulus is, one, it's definitely too little money, and it's too little money with no education behind it. And I think that's really frustrating, is that they're always like, oh, why are you just going to give people money? And then, oh, they're just going to go buy something. I'm like, okay, well, why don't you tell them what to buy? Or why don't you, like, issue out the check in such a way? Like, we have a whole unemployment thing. You could have set it up so that people got them on an unemployment card and you could only buy, like, actual things goods. You needed.
Yeah.
Like, you wouldn't be able to go buy it on freaking
$60 or
exactly.
I know what you mean, bro. I know exactly what you mean, man. It's crazy. It actually is crazy.
But they want to pretend like it's not, like, it's not an issue, and it's like, oh, well, that's your person. That's a personal responsibility. So if you're just gonna go screw it up, then which I do understand in some sense, but it's also like, yes, but this is also a pandemic and people are going freaking out. Like, we just watched half our country buy toilet paper for no reason. You think they're
this
responsibly? Like, come on. You can't, like, that's one thing I've noticed about being smart is, like, if you are ever intelligent and you know something, like, you can no longer, like, that's where I understood ignorance is bliss. I finally understood what that meant by that. Like, if you know that it exists, you are now responsible. You can't pretend that you're not responsible anymore. If you're ignorant and you actually don't know, then yeah, you don't get the responsibility. But since you know, since you watched half your country buy fucking toilet paper, you can't sit there and be like, yeah, we just throw them money. They'll know exactly what to do with it. Oh, yeah, it's fine. Oh, they need money? Well, let's just give them a little bit, and then let's take half a year. Oh, and a year to spend. Like, bro, if you gave me $1,200 and then another $1,200 a year later when I was suffering, that $1,200 is useless. You should have gave me $2,400 a year ago so I could actually settle myself into something. Like, it's not enough startup money at all.
No, it's barely anything, man.
Like, it's just enough to suffer longer. Thanks.
Yeah.
It's just unfortunate that, like, the help we're getting is not real help. And, I mean, that's part of the reason why we're still in the worst of the pandemic while other countries, at least other first world countries, are pretty much out of it, out of the bad part, you know? Like, obviously, they're still being cautious and safe, but they're back to go out and their people have been back in school for a lot of it. They're not feeling it like we are, which is...
Yeah,
I mean, not, that's a good thing. I don't want to. I was about to say it's a shame. I'm not saying it's a shame, but it's a shame that we can't. Like, this is why
you would think America. Yeah, exactly.
Because their governments are willing to make sacrifices, and not force those sacrifices on their people as much as America does. And I think that's what's really frustrating. Is, like, I get it. You want to have strong citizens, and you want to be like, yeah, well, our people can do everything and anything. But, like, to pretend that we're in some type of amazing state, like, that's why I hate the greatest country mantra. Like,
I know.
It's okay to believe in yourself, but we know overconfidence is just ridiculous. Like, we are not in any state. My ankle's broken. And you're still saying, let's run the 100-yard dash. What do you mean? Let's do it. We can run. Like, what? But my ankle's broken. Let's fix it first. Like, that's what I think is so weird, because they're expecting us to deal with this. Like, well, we're going to get to Texas later at some point, right? Or can we get into that now?
That's actually it's our next point. We're pretty much, go into it. Just go ahead and start us off into the next topic. Cool.
So perfect. Like, you look at the Texas person who was there all snowed out, getting wrecked. They can't get deliveries. And he's talking about how his people are crying. And it's like, could you imagine if you were looking at a family, right? And what we're talking about Texas, and we're talking about, we'll bring in old American values. So we'll talk about our traditional patriarchal family. And then you got this, right? You got this dad who's all big and strong, and he's like, all right. And he comes home and he sees that a bear has been terrorizing this home. And he's just like, thought I raised you kids better. Why are you guys crying? Would you not lose your mind? Would you not be like,
I know.
Oh, isn't this dad supposed to tear this bear apart and protect the family? I don't like, if your job is to be the protector, if you're the government and you're
provider.
You're the provider. You're supposed to take care of those people. When they get destroyed and they're in a state of emergency, your response is, you should have been stronger. What? That seems kind of backwards when our idea is society, and it's not a natural selection state anymore. We're trying to make a state of society, not a state of nature.
I think it's their way of trying not to take blame for not being prepared. And people died as a result of them not being prepared. Like, I think the last death toll I heard was like 24. People died, like, froze to death. And, like, I mean, no one would have ever thought, right? But still, you should have some type of way to help these people, or to be prepared, to just not be prepared at all and have this happen, and then to basically say, like, okay, you weren't good enough. That's not it. Did you guys hear about the Ted Cruz controversy? I think it was Ted Cruz.
All I know is that he went to the Bahamas, but is that a crime?
Basically, he was like, people were just mad because he was talking about it, but then people were like, well, you went to Cancun. Because I think he was giving, I think he was putting, I guess I'm not 100% sure, but I think he gave shit to either Biden or someone about not helping Texas enough. Basically,
and then, like, taking vacation,
but then they're like, well, bro, you left, like, what are you talking about? And, like, that's pretty much their issue. And then his excuse was something like, well, I came home, my kids were freezing, and they said, can we go on to some vacation spot where it's warm? And, like, I mean, I personally could never see myself as a child asking that of my parents, because I don't have that, I didn't have that money to be like, let's go on vacation.
Audacity.
Even if I did, I don't think my parents would be like, what? Like, I'm like, can we just go to our other, like, yeah, no way. That's just how it is. But I also didn't grow up, like, you know, they're probably living well. They know they have another house somewhere else. So, like, there's a part of me that's like, well, I mean, I wouldn't keep my family in, like, bad condition if I could get them out. But then there's, like, the other part of me where maybe, like, there's got to be more. He must have said something, or he must have...
Yeah, this double standard.
And it's like, well, you can just leave, man. Everybody else have to stay and do this, so you shouldn't be saying anything.
Like, but I think... I know what you would actually do, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, because I would make the same decision. It's just I would come home, see my family freezing, and be like, all right, you guys go with your mom to Cancun. I have to stay here and work.
I have shit to do.
What? Easy play. What?
that's what I was kind of thinking. I'm like, if I was going to give them any flack, it's like, okay, That's an excuse because of your family, but you have definitely have the money to send. And again, that's another thing. I probably wouldn't send my family out of country either, you know? Like, I probably would just send them to, like, somewhere in the States, especially with the pandemic. I mean, whatever. But I would have sent them somewhere in country. And then I would have, like you said, if it was, like, my job to like, run Texas, and I'm sitting there, I'm going to go and try to help the people and push things through. I guess maybe he felt like he's working remote anyways, but I don't know. I feel like it's just, I don't know, man. It's
especially because that's, I feel like we know it's insane even more so because we know the political structure, the societal structure of America, and how much media and how much showmanship is literally a part of, like, the job. So there's no way he doesn't have an entire PR team being like, yo, hey man, this isn't gonna look good. People are gonna be like, oh, it got freezing and you just left. Hey, you also just tweeted they're all crybabies, but you're the one that left. This doesn't really look good. You're not helping out your people.
Speaking, because I think that's obviously just coming from a, it's just having a privileged take, you know, like they don't have perspective. That's at least, look, if you're in government, you should have perspective. At the very least. So I'm not giving that. I'm not saying that's an excuse, but that's the only way I can make any sense. So, but to bring that up, actually, it was funny because I don't know if you guys, I'm on Twitch a lot, and I seen, there's a thread on the LSF Reddit. And it was talking about, so a lot of these streamers in Texas lost power, and they went to one of the streamers' houses. And they all, like, got together. And people were on the... I think people in the chat or something were complaining about, like... They were just, you know, giving their takes on the situation. And this guy, he said... He basically said, yo, I don't know what you guys are complaining about. He's like, a house... Like, as long as you have a house, I mean, like, houses are equal to each other. Like, a house is a house. Basically what you're saying. And he's saying, our houses are just like your houses. So, like, I don't understand what you're complaining about. And they're like, bro, then why are you over here and not at your own house? He's like, I didn't have any blankets at my house. He's like, I could survive for weeks with a blanket. And so someone else on the stream called him out and he's like, bro, you're dumb. That's a dumb stop talking. And it's just crazy to me that people can have that kind of opinion while also, like, staying at someone else's house. And to say that to someone who, first of all, to be very clear, just because a house A and house B are not equal, okay? Someone with probably $1 million house compared to someone with a couple $100,000 house, or even less, insulation is probably different. You know, those houses, someone might have cut corners on those houses. Like, I can tell you right now, my room has no insulation. No insulation. So they're not, house is not equal to other house. They're not all equal, okay? And structure, foundation, the insides, it doesn't matter. They're not equal. So for him to say that was insane. And then for him to say, if I had a blanket, when people freeze to death, do you think these people in these houses were not, like, trying to warm up or something? They had no power. They had no water or whatever. They had no food. They can't leave. They probably didn't have a truck. They probably had a blanket. At the very least, they probably had a blanket. And they didn't survive 2 weeks. Or weeks, like he's... I just think these kind of takes are just dumb. And I just don't understand how someone... I could never see myself saying something like that, even if I was rich. I just don't know how these people can do it consistently.
Not in a serious manner.
It just shows the detachment they are from reality, you know, like they're just so far gone, some people at least. And I mean, in full transparency, I feel like I used to be kind of that way too. I used to kind of like be so far from reality, but it was more out of ignorance and naivety because I was a kid, you know. I was just like, I had such a weird, simple black and white view of the world. But as you get older and you have experiences, you realize like shit's not that simple. And it's funny because what I'm talking about is more like, I would say, like real stuff. He's talking about, like he thinks he can survive on a blanket.
Yeah.
But that's it, like one blanket. Like, that's just show. That's just, I don't know if that's ignorance or retardation. You know, like what the
fuck. Well, maybe he thinks it's two. He said blankets, right? Yeah,
maybe. But like, you're right. That sort of thinking and that take is just so brain dead. It just blows my mind. I'm like, how do these people exist? Like, where did you come from?
Oh,
like, were you raised on a cloud that's like above Earth, and you just see things like completely different, or what? Like, what's going on here?
To note one more thing, that guy that had that take, to say he's brain dead is not too far off. He actually got canceled today, as a result of his logs being leaked. And it showed him being very racist. Okay, he was anti-Semitic. He said he was being an edgelord.
But I would have played that card too.
But it was bad. So I mean, after seeing that, I didn't watch the guy. I don't whatever. But I mean, finding out about that and hearing his take, it made sense. That's all I have to say about that guy. But I mean, hopefully Texas is. I see a lot of people are getting their power back. Unfortunately, I hear people getting their power back are also having their pipes burst. So I don't know what's really going on and if they're okay. But I hope they're. I hope they can find a government will prepare a better plan. Because I think that just has to be what's next. You have to be ready for stuff like this. You have to set up stuff. You have to set up power companies have to be ready. I don't know why. They just didn't have
why they aren't standard. Already.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, well, I mean, that's a whole other episode in and of itself. Our electrical grid is so old, bro. We haven't updated since the 50s. And I think the lifespan of like most of the devices that they had set up is like 50 or 60 years. And that's like, we're like already 20 years past the expiration date. Like, we're just basically allowing our grid system to run its course until something breaks instead of like, you know, being proactive about like, oh, these things are expired. Let's update the system. Like, come on, guys.
No.
Yeah, it's just because it would cut the bottom line. You know how it is.
Mm-hmm. It's this country's motto. If it ain't broke, don't fix it, man. What are you talking about? Segregation's fine. It works. It works. All right, we'll let them in a few schools. It's fine. That's why everything is so slow of progress here. It's so there's no idea of just, hey, you know what, guys, this doesn't work. Can we scrap it and restart? No. Just keep muddling on.
Until something terrible, quote unquote, happens, you know, it's like, it requires that for us to make any change. And then when the change happens, it's like, you know, an inch forward or something, not like the full step. It's like, it's frustrating.
Here's another question. A lot of us either raised and born in Cali or lived in Cali for some time. Do you think we would have been able to respond to a situation like this, or we would have been similar to how Texas responded? The state, I mean.
Well, I have two blankets on me right now.
I think you're good. Sounds like you're golden, buddy. Would our state have handled the situation, is what you're asking? Like, better?
Yes.
Shush, yeah, I don't know. Yeah, that's a 50-50, bro.
I think this stems back to what I'm saying, where it's relying on the people. And I think in California, the way the infrastructure is, there's just a lot more people that are going to be fine. And there's a lot of people that aren't going to be as fine. Mm-hmm. But because of how California is, like, and there's a lot more urban areas and stuff, like, it's easier for, like you're saying, how all those people went to one person's house. It's easier for things like that to happen and occur if electrical goes down. We also have a lot more backup systems, and we have a lot less natural disaster-esque things.
Yeah, I mean, we're always ready for a natural disaster, but for snow and parts where it just never would snow, I'm not sure. Like, okay, for example, in LA.
That's what I'm saying. How much?
I wonder,
the exact
same. My bad. I think I was cutting it.
Oh, sorry. My question is for the snow, like the exact same amount.
Yeah.
Or like, okay.
Like, for example, like, what do you think they would have done about the homeless situation? It's bad in LA, you know?
I know.
And those people would have just been fucked.
Fuck. No, they would be gone, bro. Yeah. Like, 90% of them would just be gone. It's so sad. So dumb.
That's why I was thinking, I'm like, maybe we would, but then I was like, well, a place like that, where, like, we literally have a street where it's just, like, full of tents and stuff, I'm like, what do you do? They're just donezo.
Irvine party.
Yeah, it's the whole party for sure. Rest in peace. Yeah, man, it's scary to think about when that day comes, because, yeah, I was learning about our electrical system. That's what I'm saying. Like, our systems are so old. It's like, what the fuck are we doing? We're literally asking for a disaster to happen and then being like, I guess we'll deal with it now. But instead of, like, dealing with it preemptively, it's like, I'm worried, you know?
Well, there's just no way to deal with it in the moment because you won't be able to access.
Yeah, and how are you going to convince someone to change something if it's not broken, quote unquote? Yeah, so we'll see.
Yeah, I'm trying to think.
I mean, we talked about how California would handle it, but there's another issue. California recently passed a bill or law that should be allowing schools to reopen. And I think when they're talking about schools, I think they're talking about K-12, right, specifically?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, from what I understood.
So, I mean, as someone who's past that, like, I do think kids need to be, school's important, okay? School's important, especially for kids of those ages. I have god kids. I babysat for, like, 3 days, and I had to make sure they woke up, got to class online. Bro, these teachers are struggling, man.
Dude, I can tell.
They can't. They cannot teach. Like, for example, these kids are like the kids I'm talking about, like 5, 6, like 7. You can't, like, you can't keep those kids' attention on the computer. And, like, you have to have, like, ideally, you'd have a parent sitting there and making sure, but these parents, you know, especially in a multiple kid household, you can't watch both kids while they're both in class. It's just too hard. And these teachers can't, they're not, I'm worried because they're not learning anything. So I can see the rush.
Mm-hmm.
Of trying to open up schools,
mm-hmm.
but it's just also got to be safe. And I know they're saying this bill I don't agree with the bill either, because they're saying basically, like, give funding to the schools that open up, but it has to be proper. A lot of these schools, I don't think, will have the tools to be able to meet the requirements to open up the way they want. And and if these schools end up opening anyways, it could be a bad case, because I'm pretty sure in every other instance of any school opening, the COVID cases have sprung through. And, you know, teachers are at risk because teachers are all usually on the elderly side.
Mm-hmm. Which is why we can't freaking do remote learning.
So
I know. That's also complicated, the technical side of teaching online, you know. A complication issue, you know, that's being compounded by the age gap. Let's put it that way.
So, I mean, I want schools to reopen, but I don't know if I want them to reopen if we're not. And I know, mm-hmm. I want to hear your take on it, Bruno, because I know you said you were excited for actually schools to reopen. So, mm-hmm. I mean, what's your take on it?
The reason I'm saying I'm excited is because, like you kind of alluded to, online learning is complete trash. It's a joke. Especially in higher education, but that's a separate issue. So I just feel like it's sad. And I know, like, the pandemic put a halt to that and there's nothing you can do about it. But I think, I don't know, maybe I'm just too optimistic and I don't know all the figures and the facts, but I just feel like we should be at a state in this, crisis where they can open up safely. But you're right, I don't trust the schools. No offense, schools out there that might be listening. But I just don't trust you guys to really do it properly. But I think it's better than what we have now, because I really do think the online is killing some students. Some students are thriving, I hear. Like, my one cousin, she's saying, like, it's so much easier. And that's actually my experience last year when I had my last, like, 8 weeks of spring semester at CSUN, I felt like it was so much easier because the teachers weren't as, they were a lot more lenient on the grading and stuff, and they also weren't good at the tech stuff, so they didn't have as much assignments and things. So, but it might have been quote unquote easier, but was I getting value from the experience? Probably not. So that's why I'm eager, but you're right. In terms of safety or like whether it's a net good, might not pan out. I just think it's sad that they're just stuck at home. I guess that's where my sympathies lie.
Yeah, I mean, I'll tell you right now, like, say I have the same, I'm school right now, and it's 100% easier. Like, depending on the class, it's 100% easier, and it's nice because now I can spend time putting out my work schedule, and all these classes that were not online before are, and I really hope that when this is over, they take a lesson from that, and some teachers keep those classes that they make you go into school for online, because some students thrive online. I've been doing really well online, actually. I mean, it's not that my grades were bad before, but I'm doing better online. Now, there is some classes where I wish I actually could go in person, because the stuff the teachers are trying to make us do or compensate is really annoying. For example, my math class. So, like, the math classes have become either super easy or way harder than they need to. And this is happening in one of my recent classes where the teacher is more concerned about catching every cheater than help actually, like, teaching the students, you know? So, like, tests are, you know, everyone has to record themselves. Everyone has to, if he has any suspicion he thinks you're cheating, you actually lose points. And it's, the questions are harder than people think they should be. And, like, honestly, like, a lot of that is might be just be students complaining a little bit too much. But it's also, like, it's kind of annoying when you can tell that someone is so focused to catch a cheater that they're forgetting about the student that's not cheating, you know? So,
yeah.
It's like, I wish I could just, I don't like being recording myself or having this stuff up or having to upload stuff for class. Mm-hmm. So, like, that's a class where even though I hate math in general, I much rather would have it on in person so I can ask questions, figure out what I'm doing. They can understand how I see things rather than just, you're just trying to see if I cheated online.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's really tough. And so if schools can open properly, I'm all for it. I just am not sure if they can do it properly.
Yeah. At the end of the day, I think for this one, it's definitely a coin flip because you're right. On one hand, I definitely agree. I don't think they can open properly. You're talking about public schools. So you're talking about government stuff again. You're talking about underpaid teachers who aren't going to care that much, getting bottles of sanitizers to deal with kids who aren't going to care that much, with parents that are focused about their money, not focused on what their kid is doing once they get to school. So, but then you also have students who are getting wrecked because their home life is hard, getting to the internet's hard, access to the computer's hard, or learning's difficult for them because they already have an issue with paying attention in class. Now you're asking them to pay attention on a computer. Yeah, that's not going to happen. And then, like, but you also have the students who will thrive because I'm the same way. If it was at home, it's easy for me. But that's just between whether your student is a self-learner who can already understand the responsibility that they have to do these things, set time aside for themselves, and then they'll do it. That's why I tend to get annoyed with a schedule because I'm like, I know what I have to do and how long it takes me. I don't want you to tell me I have to be here for 2 hours when it takes me an hour. But there's some students that it takes them 2 hours, or they want to sit there for 2 hours because it makes them feel like it's done because you told them so. So, like, they need that type of structure. So, yeah, but as far as, like, whether it's going to be safe or not, or whether it's going to be more beneficial, like, I think the numbers going back and forth, it just comes down to a coin flip. So to me, I feel like reopening is better, and then having the option to learn from home and remotely, or having some sort of mixture to allow, like, half the students in, half the students out, for some type of flow like that might help out in some way.
I definitely think that a lot of schools will opt out, whether that's because they couldn't make the requirements or if that's because they just decided themselves that they didn't want to. Either way, I think there's going to be schools that opt out. So I think there will be that mixture. I think the mixture will just be students changing what school they go to, depending on how they want to learn.
That could definitely be an option.
That'd be very interesting.
I wouldn't be surprised though if school if they do cut corners in California, which I can see happening. I wouldn't be surprised if the union teachers went on strike, and then you just have nothing open up because they're you don't have any. And they're like, well, if nothing to do it, there's no reason for me to risk my life to go and do this. You know.
Yeah.
Because I think the hardest part is going to be of giving vaccines to these students. And I think another thing that's going to be hard for them is I think they're also talking about, like, I feel so bad for these students. Some students are going to be held back. Some students,
for sure.
All these kids are missing out on a lot of stuff. I think if they reopen schools, they're going to make students go to school through summer to catch up. And I don't think any of those kids are going to like them. Now, granted, they've had all this free time, so really, what are they complaining about? But, like, they're basically saying that the kids aren't learning anything, so they're going to go back and teach. So there's going to be longer school years and longer semesters, which I don't think is going to... Might be better overall if they keep it like that, but it's going to be definitely an issue with a lot of the students.
Okay. Yeah, sure. This is what they should do then. See, this is what I hate. They keep, like, trying to make these policies and decide, and then they try to enforce something in the middle of the year, and then it's going to fuck... No, they should just take this year. We just fucking started fresh. Decide every goddamn thing they want to do with schools and how they want to do the new years and how that's going to align. And then when we start up next year, everything just resets. We act like the hell of 2020 and 2021 just didn't exist. Or you just skip to the whatever grade, and then we do the first couple months as a recoup to get you reset, and then you go back to wherever you're supposed to be.
Mm-hmm.
Man, I feel bad for these kids.
Yeah, it's gonna suck. But it's always gonna suck. That's why this is what it hates. This concept bothers me because this happens at work a lot too, where, like, it's gonna suck, right? The pandemic happened. So we have to make a decision. But instead of making a decision, people are talking about how much it sucks and, like, oh my gosh, like, well, this might work out. And maybe this will happen. Maybe COVID will end, you know? If COVID ends now, we can do this. If COVID ends tomorrow, we can do, if it ends in a month, we can do, okay, well, it sucks now and it hasn't ended. So what can we actually do now? And just fucking do it.
Do it.
I mean, I completely agree. And I think that's just the way, I mean, hopefully this is what they're doing. Like, and I do think it's weird because I know you said the deadline was around April, Bruno, and I know it's basically school's over, like, at that point. You know? You have, like, what, 1 month and a half after?
Yeah.
And it'll be really interesting to see if they force those kids to continue going to school. Because, I mean, I say, like, oh, these kids have had all this free time, but, I mean, they still have to catch those online classes. So, like, mm-hmm. Now they're like, we've had all these online classes and they're telling us we're supposed to go the summer. And honestly, it's not going to be the kids' choice. It's never going to be. And I think the parents would actually enjoy those kids having to go to school through summer because then they could actually enjoy their summer. But,
well, yeah, for a little break time.
But like I said, I wouldn't be surprised if teachers striked, especially since the teachers would have to work through their 3 month break that they get every year. But, I don't know. We'll have to see.
Some teachers might like the extra pay.
Yeah. Well, I mean, definitely a lot of people. They probably. I mean, yeah. I mean, have you guys also heard about the? I mean, this is going a little bit off top. Some college, so like when it initially happened, there was a lot of, like, help for college students, which I think is good, but a lot of this stuff is going to affect their transfers or even their admission to these other schools, because you know how the pass and the no pass work.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Some schools, because of the COVID changed to pass, no pass. And that's fine as long as you're able to opt for letter grades as well, right?
Yeah.
Some of these schools did not allow that.
Wow.
So some of these students have on their transcripts now only pass too high. Or yes. No pass, no letter grade. And some schools, private schools, are don't accept that. So mm-hmm. It's like now they're not going to be able to transfer to the school they want. Now there's obviously schools that will accept it, you know, but it just sucks because let's say a student got an A but they have a pass on their thing and they had no choice. Like, this is the school I was going to, it's what I have, and this is what happened. And the schools will like did note that's like this happened during the pandemic, but I think a lot of private schools, you know, don't care. It is what it is. And
I know.
So
would you be able to go up to the teacher and ask them to report it for you or anything?
I have no idea. The way as I see it, it was basically it's on your transcript. So like what?
Oh, that sucks.
The only thing you could do is take it to the school and argue and be like, report it as a letter grade and try to go through them.
Yeah.
That's the only way. And if the school says no, you've got to. I'm sure like there's some people who probably could sue and fix that, but I don't. It hasn't happened. But the issues wouldn't pop up until the future, so no one knows the repercussions.
True.
But we've hit our 1 hour mark, guys, and you know we had a good topic. We talked about the vaccines, stimmies, Texas, California schools opening, and if there's anything you disagree on, anything you have thoughts on, go down and put it in the comment section below, as long as you put it in politely. I mean, if you want to be ignorant in the comment section, that's fine. I'll take it with a grain of salt, buddy. But yeah, tell us what you have to say, and don't forget to subscribe.
Peace.
Deuces.